Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one... the only Pucko Podcast.
So, Ethan, did you ever finish the Delta episode?
So about that. So I was in Paris. And when I was in Paris, there was a terrorist attack on a bus that I was on. And I helped stop the attack. But in the ensuing shuffle, I caught a bullet in my 3DS, which was right in front of my heart, where it belongs. And unfortunately, I lost my copy of Alpha Sapphire and was not able to complete the Delta episode. But I did save some lives, so that's a good thing.
It's Pucko!
Pucko!
It's Pucko!
Pucko!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah.
Pucko!
Grab your friends, it's that time again. Listen to the show with the phone
never ends.
It's Pucko!
Pucko!
Oh yeah.
Pucko!
It's your host,
Spring Attack!
And your co-host,
and welcome to the 198th episode of the Pucko Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch.
I am the early bird, Ethan.
And I am the fluffiest whimsicott.
And we are doing this on a very early, early morning escapade.
Speak for yourself.
Not for you, obviously.
Jeez, what time is it over in your part of the world?
4:15 p.m.
Okay.
It's like a lovely afternoon for her.
I can get behind that.
I don't know. It's just, I honestly really prefer, like, I don't prefer, but I like doing these morning episodes. Maybe yeah. If we did them more often, I'd hate it.
I think it's nice because you get the whole rest of the day. Because a lot of people don't know this, but recording is an endeavor.
It is. It's like a
commitment.
You have to have at least a 2-hour blocked off of your day.
Yeah.
And
At least,
if not more.
And you often have to build your day around that because people have their regular hours.
Yeah, it's because especially with scheduling with the co-hosts and everything, there's always like somebody's like, I've got something to do here. I try to be as flexible as possible, but this week it's my fault that we're recording so early.
It's fine.
It's okay.
But
at least Fluffiest is comfortable.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very much so. And you actually got the right time to miss the giant noise from the Formula One track that is less than 2 miles from my
home. Oh, yeah. It's still crazy. Happening this weekend.
Yeah.
I don't follow
in
F1.
My backyard.
Yeah. So, without further ado... what have you guys been up to in Pokemon lately? You guys have both been on the show recently, so maybe not.
Ethan, do tell us about your tragic, tragic story.
So, I talked a big game last week. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna play the Delta episode. I'm gonna do it, guys, I swear. So, yesterday, I go play the Delta episode, and I go looking for my 3DS. I'm at school now, by the way. I'm a student, and I go to look for my 3DS, and alas, I had left it at home. However, I had given myself hope, because I brought my charger, but it was a false hope, So I have my charger, but no 3DS.
So sad.
So
that's so useful.
I think I can forgive myself of not being able to complete it, because it wasn't for
lack of
trying.
I can forgive you as well. I mean, you tried.
I would have completed it. I had a lot of time yesterday. I was like, all right, let's go, Delta episode. Do it.
It's happening, you know.
Yeah. So, as punishment, they're going to spoil everything in the entire Delta episode for me.
No, we're
not. No, we would never.
We'll tell you to mute your headphones, and we'll let you back in.
Aw.
We're going to be nice.
We are such nice people.
Yeah. I don't know. Thatch is okay. You're nice.
Aw, thank
It's
you.
All right. Ethan and I have a love-hate relationship. We've only known each other for, like, 5 years.
Five? It is five.
It's been about five.
It's like five or six.
It's five or six, somewhere in there. I've lost count. I mean, we're at 198 episodes, Ethan. Okay.
Please understand, that is like a significant percentage of my life.
It's a significant percentage of my life as well.
Sheesh.
It's been like, I mean, this December it'll be 8 years.
I knew you before you had even met your fiance.
That's true. I've known you longer than my fiance. Oh my god.
Which means I think I get rights to get married to you first. I think that's how that works. So,
guys,
move over, Misty. There's a new man in town.
You know about my passion for shaping Steve and Wallace?
Yeah.
You guys should stop before I start doing that to you.
Oh, boy. See, the seeds have already been sown. If you go back through the previous episodes, there's a lot of hints for you to grab. You know?
Oh, man.
My favorite thing is that Ethan was, in fact, like, the only one of the current co-hosts that was on an episode that was only two digits.
Oh my, is that for real?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, was it 89? No.
It was like in the 80s, I think.
Huh. But what would the name be? Would it be...
Well, you were Mr. Thingy.
I know, but what would the name of the ship be? Would it be Thiethan?
I'll have to think about it. Because, you know, in Pokemon, they don't actually... It would probably be, like, the half-episode shipping. Because they give random object names to the ships.
Ohio shipping. There we go.
Oh, man. I am mentally composing a scrapbook.
I care about that so much, I moved to Ohio to be a bit closer to him.
Oh...
We do need to hang out. That's happening. That's happening this semester. And we're going to film a video of us making Pokeblocks.
Do you have... Oh my god, we have to do that. But do you have a GameCube adapter for your Wii U? Because Smash will be played.
I'm going to get one.
I can bring one.
Okay.
I got one.
We could totally do it. I have no problem against that. I have nothing against that.
Awesome.
Alright. For myself, Pokemon-wise, I've played some Little Cup. What's new?
We are not surprised.
I've been breeding for the Puckle Mini Madness Tournament, which is our Little Cup tournament that's going to be starting in about a month. So I've been breeding for that, getting ready, getting my team all set up. I mean, there's not much else to it.
Yeah, as for myself, you know, you did say I've been on recently, but... I've been on holiday ever since, and so I had a lot of free time, and I've actually recently completed my first ever Nuzlocke challenge.
Ooh, which
really?
Game?
Which game?
I did Fire Red, and I beat the Elite Four, I beat Team Rocket, I beat Mewtwo, and then I called it a day because I am not grinding to level 70 for the Elite Four rematch. Not with Nuzlocke rules.
No way.
What's the body count?
How many died? Let's just say more than half a dozen, and let's not go into details or I will cry.
What did you name them?
I just gave them random names. I think my best nickname was probably Elvis, the Nidoran male, because he was supposed to evolve into Nidoking.
The King of
Rock. Oh no, such a sad sentence.
Supposed to. Yeah. And then so I named my Magikarp King because of Koi King, and when he evolved, his unofficial title was King of the Shrimps. And yeah, he's a beast. He's carried me through a lot of things. I'm going to, you know.
We're actually getting ready for something like that for the YouTube, so I'm going to steal some of your nicknames maybe.
Man. I'll let you have a list of them.
Oh, awesome. That would be nice, actually.
I could never do a Nuzlocke run.
I've done several, and Leaf Green, Fire Red, I've read are supposed to be the easiest ones. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying, like...
Certainly wasn't hard.
Soul Silver, Heart Gold are, I think, the hardest, just because of the low-level grinding available.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna kill this cat.
And if I was gonna pick one that I would want to run, it would be Heart Gold, Soul Silver, just to appreciate how good those... How good those golly gosh darn games are. I can't believe that was... I've been so good about it.
I know. I think we've all been really good about it, honestly.
It's like it's 2011 again.
I was wondering, can I curse in Italian? Probably not.
I mean, I would suggest against it.
I wasn't planning on doing that. It was just, you know, I was wondering. Anyway, Ethan, I didn't think I could do Nuzlocke because I would get depressed and I didn't have any patience for grinding. But I created a little narrative in my head about the Pokemon not really dying. I was essentially composing a Nuzlocke comic in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a story in my head and I actually had a lot of fun with it.
I would not be able to release them. I would have to put them into a box somewhere.
Oh, that's what I do. Oh, I don't actually release them. I put them in a box like Mark Graveyard or something.
Okay.
Yeah, they're in a box. I could never release my bodies.
That's as far as I can go.
It's just very depressing. But either way, without further ado, let's kick it over to the news. Because some cool things happened this week. So, cue the epic music.
Lavender Town Radio Tower. This just in.
And on to the news. So in the news, it's been kind of a slowish week. I say slow, and that's a really good pun, actually. This week in Pokemon, the Pokemon Company actually released these Slowpoke videos and like this Jamaican like Slowpoke song. Something like this had been previously done in Japan, like. I think like 6-7 months ago. It's pretty much whenever you got onto your 3DS themes and you could download that Slowpoke theme.
Yeah.
That happened. But they like, I did not expect them to like fully Americanize it. And it's got like English lyrics and everything. And they're just like going crazy with like Slowpoke GIFs and stuff. I don't fully understand it.
They're basically turning into Pokememes.
Yeah, but I think it's awesome, honestly. I think it's awesome that Pokemon like just put something like this together for fun.
Yeah, especially since it's not, you know, Pikachu or Charizard.
Yeah.
It's Slowpoke.
It's Slowpoke.
Funny. It's cute.
He's getting a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Wow.
Slowpoke, I don't know. I really enjoy it. It's like, it's really, really cool.
I kind of have a certain reverence for him. And I think that, like... I think there's an appreciation for Slowpoke in the community. I think
goofy. If you were to talk about any Pokemon, there is an appreciation for it to some extent.
I'll test you on that.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Hold on. Give me 5 minutes.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
5 minutes.
Moving on. We'll talk about some other news. If we look into future battle competitions, there's the Primal Battle competition coming up at the end of September. I don't know if it's actually going to be fun, because what it essentially is you're allowed to bring Primal Groudon or Primal Kyogre with you, and it's just a normal set except for those two things. And so it's just going to be like, well, obviously everybody's going to bring, like, Primal Groudon. Primal Groudon is definitely way better than Primal Kyogre.
Is it really?
Yeah. Okay, so think about it this way. Primal Groudon's weak to Primal Kyogre, right? But unless you... So their abilities mismatch,
primal.
Right?
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure the abilities activate based on speed.
And Primal Groudon is slower. I get it.
Yep. And so you're gonna get the heat that prevents water type moves from even working. And there are some strategies to take Primal Groudon down. I have heard of a few. I think his only weakness, though, it turns out to be ground type. Then
it is.
And so you have to have some pretty strong ground type Pokemon with you.
The only thing I can think of that would allow you to, like, whittle down Primal Groudon's team with Primal Kyogre would be to, like, use a very fast U-turn user mm-hmm. on Primal Groudon, because you can't even Volt Switch on Groudon.
I have heard of people using Golduck, actually.
Golduck, because it has Cloud 9.
Because of Cloud 9, yeah.
Well, at that point, you could even use Altaria, but then you'd only have Cloud 9 before Mega Evolving it, so it would be a bit messier.
Yeah.
Okay. I have assembled a list of Pokemon that I can guarantee you have no following.
Okay, go.
You were actually doing that.
Go. Okay. Here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
All right. I don't... Silcoon.
Okay.
Silcoon. There's one. All right, here's another one.
Although its little lashes are very cute.
This might be controversial. Surskit.
I don't think Surskit's anybody cares. No.
Surskit, I love Surskit, guys. And we know for a fact that Scrawn loves Surskit.
So. Surskit does have a following.
Okay. Huntail.
Huntail has a following.
No, you're.
I mean, in the competitive scene, it does.
Okay.
It's sad because it's
55
really
HP. All right, let's go. Shellos.
Shellos?
I mean,
a lot of people actually like Shellos. I think if they were to make, like, a bunch of Shellos plushes, people would actually do it.
I would buy a Shellos plush.
There you go, Ethan. You just proved yourself wrong.
Okay.
The blue one, and I love it.
Patrat?
Patrat's gotta have a following.
Okay.
That's like saying Sentret doesn't have a following. Come on.
Basculin.
I could see it having a following, but I'd say a lot less so than Shellos.
Carbink
does.
I like Carbink. It's a little bunny. I like it.
Carbink's adorable.
Is it a bunny?
I don't know. Yeah. It's a diamond bunny.
I think the one we determined it for sure, though, is definitely Silcoon. Silcoon, you are the weakest link.
If somebody made a Silcoon plush, it would be kind of weird.
I challenge anybody to claim that Silcoon is their favorite.
Well,
and they'd be wrong.
Probably not their favorite, but, you know, you can get some appreciation for Silcoon, because when your Wurmple evolves, if you're looking for a Beautifly, you see Silcoon, and you're happy.
Maybe? How about, like...
Maybe not.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a stretch, really.
Yeah.
There's gotta be more, but I'm, like, Silcoon, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say, not a huge fan base. Maybe Barboach, even. Like, Barboach is just...
No, Barboach is cool because it evolves into Whiskash, and we all remember that Thatch wants to be based on a Catfish legend.
I don't even know what that is from.
Episode 151.
What? Wow.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Pwned.
I can't even remember what I did last week.
Right?
But this, it's not like I have a good memory. It's just that this thing has, you know, entered my personal hall of fame of Puckle Canon. So.
Okay. Finian,
yes.
Finian is so cute.
I think Finian's very
so
forgettable,
useless,
though.
Too.
But either way, let's get back to the news.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
We should. Sorry.
There have been a couple other things. First of all, the Pokemon Company International has put out a poll about what they should do for future competition that's set to run in November. And so it's like, what rules would you guys like, essentially? And so there are five choices. You can have a no Mega, where no Mega Stones are allowed. Inverse double battles, where the type matchups are reversed. Anything goes. Triple battles in which multiples of any Pokemon and item are permitted, which would be insane, and I wouldn't like that.
A team of Mega Rayquaza.
Well, you can only have one Mega, right? So
no Mega.
Still,
would be interesting.
It's like Rayquaza.
Anti-evolution is another one. Only Pokemon that can't evolve or haven't evolved are permitted.
That'd be cool.
So it's kind of like Little Cup, but you can use the mid stages, I guess.
Hmm.
No, I think you would.
That but you could also use, like, Farfetch'd.
Having evolved.
Huh?
I think it would qualify as having evolved.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Never mind.
I think no Mega would be interesting, because it'd be like, what is the state of the meta if this never happened? That'd be
and
fun.
And then there's one more, and it's underdogs. Pokemon that finished among the top 12 in any 2015 double battle online competition are banned.
I know what I would vote for.
I'd vote for Underdogs, I think.
Yeah, no Landorus. No Landorus. Anywhere. Paradise.
That
you guys can
so
see my face now, but it's a blissful face.
That would be, like, the most that I would... I'm going to go on a limb. I think that's the most that the Pokemon Company would have ever put into a, like, tournament rule set. Because that's so specific to the meta. Like, that is so mm-hmm. meta about the meta, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
True, like,
that is
yeah.
a...
I'm very excited. I'd like to see that. I would probably go for Underdogs. I mean, I don't know exactly where to vote. Let me find out. It's probably
it's a really good idea.
It's
probably a link for me
website.
To click to go to Underdogs and just click vote. I'm going to click this button, and it won't let me. it's probably on the global link.
Yeah.
So I'll check it out later. But moving on.
Okay, I am going to kill you.
I apologize for my cat. He's just, like, running around making noise.
Being a cat.
He's being a cat. either way, let's see. This is gonna end up being like a Puckle meme again at some point. What are you doing,
Rower?
I lost my news. I don't think there's much else going on other than there is a new Super Mystery Dungeon trailer because it's available for preload in Japan, which means that it's downloaded on their game, but they can't play it.
So silly.
I mean, it's so that you don't have to, like, get online and crash their servers when, like, everybody tries to download it, Pokebank.
Oh, I guess
no,
that
pre-install
makes
is
sense.
Good. Hmm?
But...
Pre-install's good. It's a much better process.
I had to download Metal Gear Solid 5 the other day, because I wanted,
I've had to download a lot of games. I'm actually really, really hip to downloading games.
But the thing is that I wanted to preload it, and it's like the first game in a while that I could not preload.
I guess we could also mention in the news mm-hmm. that the structure of the next Play Pokemon season has been announced.
Yes, that's true.
And that includes how championship points are awarded.
I think we discussed this last week, actually.
You do? Oh, yeah. Good.
I thought so.
Because... Anyway, we don't have Sublime here, so I could make neither heads nor tails of this. I have no idea.
I have no idea what to make of it either, but that would be something interesting to discuss with Sublime.
Yeah.
without further ado, though, Puckle News. In Puckle News, I've already mentioned it before. We have the Mini Madness tournament, our Little Cup tournament going on right now. You do have to go sign up for this. So if you go to PucklePodcast.com, there's an MMT tab. If you just click on that, there's a place where it'll allow you to go to the sign-up page and just fill out your Puckle username and your email, and you're all signed up to go. It is Little Cup, so check out the rules there. I have them all posted on the Little Cup or the MMT page as well, what's banned and what's not banned. There is a suspect test going on, but I don't think it's going to pass, so don't worry about it too much. Let's see. Other than that, yeah, I'd love to see you guys come out. Not too many people have signed up for it, up to my knowledge, but it should be a lot of fun. Just because I love doing Puckle tournaments, just because the Puckle, like, tournament meta is so much different than, like, real other metas, you know? Like, the Showdown meta.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people try to show up and bring their own things, and I really like that.
Yeah, that is... very enjoyable about Puckle tournaments, and I'm certainly going to sign up for it. I'm just waiting until I know for sure that I can find the time to breed my team.
Well, what do you need? Just tell me what you need. I can help you.
No, don't worry. I do know I have at least one member of my team ready.
Probably.
Because, yeah, exactly. I have so many, like, perfect IV Cottony in my box,
awesome.
And one is done.
One is done. That's good. But yeah, so check that out. Please come and do it, because it starts, like, October 4th. I'd really like to see you guys there. I have a lot of fun. There's going to be a real prize. I'm going to post it here on Monday, and you'll all be able to check it out. It's going to be really cool. Follow us on social media for that, because it's probably where I'm going to post it first, and then it'll be on the website. Cool. So, without further ado, I think that's it for the news. So, after the short break, we'll get to you guys right with the topic.
Hey there, Puckalonians. Gator here to tell you how you can love us more. Here at Pokemon Underground Champion League's podcast, we both want and need your undying affection. But Gator, you ask, how can I do that? It's easy. Follow our Twitter and Tumblr, like us on Facebook, subscribe to the Puckle subreddit, find us on YouTube, and if you find yourself with a couple extra dollars, consider donating to the show. 100% of donations go to the community and keeping the show running. I love you.
And on to the topic today. The topic today is post-games, as we mentioned last week, because Ethan's finished the Delta episode. And I'm sorry, Ethan. I had to do it.
But I will mend your heart with my own story later when we get to it.
Okay. So we're going to talk about post-game content. There hasn't been much post-game content prior, I would say, to like... We're going to define post-game as post-Elite Four, right? That's what we all agree. After the credits roll.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So I guess there's been post-game content in literally every game then. Except for maybe X and Y.
No, I would actually argue that X and Y has more post-game than Red, Blue, and Yellow.
You're more than likely right. I agree. Not. The only thing that I think is in the Red, Blue post-game is Mewtwo.
Yes, you'd be exactly right.
The Cerulean Cave. I think that is the only thing in the post-game of Red, Blue, and Yellow.
Technically, you can also leave the legendary birds for the post-game, but they are available before that, so...
I mean, that was one of the cool things about Red and Blue, is that you could do a lot of that during the game. And I like that very much, that they returned to that in Black and White 2.
Yeah.
They let you catch the Musketeer Trio throughout the game. I really like that.
In fact, it's... Like, they put the Musketeer Trio right in front of your face.
Yeah, that's a little worse, but, you know,
it's a bit too much.
It's a little too much, but at the same time, they do it, which was nice. I mean, I really liked, because when I was, like, a kid and lost in Victory Road, like, I ran into the Moltres accidentally. I'm like, oh, this is cool. And then I was, you know, I ran into Zapdos accidentally at the power plant. I saw Articuno, but did not catch it, and...
Oh, man, you missed the best one.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But either way, the post-game, yeah, in Red, Blue, Yellow wasn't very big. It depends on what you call the post-game in Gold and Silver, Heart, Gold, Soul, Silver. Like, I can't say with a full heart that Kanto was a post-game. I feel like that was very much part of the story.
Oh, that's part of the game. That's
game, not post-game, right?
No, yeah. I would argue for the opposite thing. Because, one, you said post-Elite Four credits, and if you use...
I guess, but I can't say in those games that definition counts.
Actually...
It's still half a game left.
That's like half a game. Ethan is 100% right.
Like, the Dark World and in Zelda, is that post-game? I don't think so. Like, that's game.
I have never played a Zelda game.
Oh, God.
Yeah, feel free to kick me out whenever.
We're not going to kick you out. This is Pokemon podcast.
No, I was just saying, you know, I can see the point behind your position here, and I could agree with you. But then I remember that let's give credit to a very nice person, Satoru Iwata. Mm-hmm. I remember the story we all read when he passed away.
That's true.
That there was not supposed to be pretty much any post-game in Gold and Silver until he put his hands on the code.
Well,
and
they wouldn't
not
even
only...
have been able to fit Johto on it. That was their problem. They couldn't even do that.
There was not even enough space for the main game, and he fit the whole Johto game and the entirety of Kanto on the cartridge. So, since it wasn't planned to be there from the beginning, I would argue you can consider it a post-game, but then again, it is half of the game, so...
Yeah,
I think
it's just so much.
You is right.
I don't know. I just can't say that it's... I can't see it's a post-game. I could say, like, Red. Red maybe is a post-game challenge. I'll say that Red is a post-game challenge, but, like...
Definitely, for sure.
When you're done getting the 16 badges, that's when you're done. That, you know, and that's everything, essentially. And the only thing you have left to do is maybe go clean up some legendaries or... You know, go beat Red. You have to wait until then to beat Red, because I think the credits still play after you beat Red.
I have not beaten Red either.
Oh!
Yeah, it was because, well, I never finished Silver because my little brother got his hands on the game. And then I was playing Soul Silver and I was grinding for Red, and only then did I realize that half of my team had, you know, had natures that hindered their main stats. And so the grinding was impossible and I just gave up after a point.
It was just, like, HeartGold, Soul Silver, and Gold and Silver are just so awful in that, like, I respect them as, like, the best games in the franchise. But, like, as I was talking to you about the Nuzlocke earlier, they are just so, like, the wild Pokemon are just so low-leveled.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to level up because the wild Pokemon are, like, 30 levels below yours.
Yeah, I'm planning on doing my next Nuzlocke on SoulSilver, but I'm going to have to do that when I have, like, a lot of free time.
There's a lot of grinding to be done in those games, and I don't know. It's very much a chore, even if you're not even Nuzlocking those games. It's very much a chore.
Yeah.
I did beat Red, though, for good times. I was horribly underleveled, but I still did it.
Good job.
Because I'm just like, I'm so bored. So bored. I can't keep grinding. But without further ado, Fluffiest found this from a guy at Tumblr, Technophonics, TechnoPhonix. He has post-game guides from everything after Diamond and Pearl. And they're actually really, really cool.
Comprehensive.
They're very comprehensive. Like, I'm looking at the one for Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. It's 3 pages long.
Yeah, and except for the Black 2 and White 2 one, they are all printable. They have cool pictures on them. They're colorful. They're really, really cool.
It's actually really neat. I'm a big fan of this. I have a 4-hour car ride later today, and I think that this might be something that gets to come along with me.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, this is really comprehensive.
It is. It's very comprehensive. It's.
I mean, it's obtaining both bicycles. That's not like a post game thing.
Well, have you obtained both bicycles, Ethan?
No.
Okay, it's a post game thing. It actually is. It's very hard to obtain both bicycles.
Oh.
Yeah, you have to do very specific things that nobody mentions to you.
Yeah, you have to go talk to two specific people while riding on specific bicycles.
Assuming that they were just referring to have access to both.
No, you can get both of them at the same time.
Well, now we're talking.
Isn't that like the nicest thing ever? There are some areas that are actually only accessible in ORAZ if you have both.
That is very... Man, there's so much game left for me.
There's a lot of game left for you. And this is Hoenn, your favorite region, Ethan.
I know. And that, like, my favorite part of Hoenn is exploring that region.
It's so beautiful.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah, it's actually insanely... There's so much going on, actually. There's a lot going on. And I don't know. It's just one of those things. It's one of those things that's very awesome and something to try.
I will do that.
Go in order. So, Red, Blue, and Yellow.
We already talked about it. We're done.
Gold and Silver, arguably half the game, or just Red. Hoenn.
Hoenn, I would say the original Hoenn, not this one.
Yeah.
You had Rayquaza to go catch him at Sky Pillar. And that's pretty much it in completing the Pokedex.
Well, in Emerald...
What about the Regis?
In Emerald, you do have the Battle Frontier, but
the Regis are a...
Right, Regipuzzles.
Oh, the Regipuzzles as well. I totally forgot about that.
That's a pretty good post-game thing.
That's really, like, the fact... Yeah. I love... That was, like, back in the day when, like, instruction booklets were actually useful. And, like, it had the Braille, like, translations in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really like that the instruction booklet back then had that, and that it was, like, that was a very hard puzzle, you know?
I just thought of something.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Regis have English Braille on them, but, like, Japan?
No.
What does Japan do?
I actually have no idea what Japanese Braille looks like, but I'm supposing it has to be... I don't think...
I'm not sure what the Japanese puzzles were for that. I'm not sure. It's very interesting, though.
Huh. Let's find out.
Yeah.
Japanese must have its own Braille.
Maybe. I
would assume.
Or maybe they got it all just spelled out for them.
I don't think so, because I mean, that would...
I don't know. That was definitely one of the hardest puzzles in Pokemon.
For some reason.
Either way. Moving on. Diamond and Pearl then had a little bit more, I guess. Like, they had the Spiritomb thing. That was the dumbest thing I ever seen, though, that Spiritomb. Oh my gosh. Where you had to,
talk about crazy requirements.
Yeah. Where it's just, like, you had to go to the underground, like, 30 times and meet with 32 people in the underground.
Was it 32? I thought it was even more than
that.
No, it's
32. Because I remember, because I sat down, because I had both Diamond and Pearl.
Oh, good thing.
No, it wasn't me. It was me and my friend. We had Diamond and Pearl, and so what we did was one of us would go in and out of the underground. And we'd just talk to each other, and that counted as 32 different people. And then we'd went there, and we caught the Spiritomb. We also had, you can catch Rotom at the old chateau by going to the TV at night. Hopefully you've already captured Dialga or Palkia.
Mm-hmm.
You can capture the Lake Trio as well. Mesprit's hardest because it's roaming, but you can catch the other ones. If you had Pokemon Ranger, you could transfer the Manaphy egg.
Ooh, yeah, right.
Which was really cool. I really like that because it got its own sprite. What?
Do you happen to have a spiky ear Pikachu still on your?
On my Heart Gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do still have that. Oh, you
know, I think I still have Spiky Ear Pikachu.
So here's the thing.
Pichu. Yeah.
My, I never did that event, and it's on the optional backstory and sequences things for the post-game checklist. I also never did the Sinjo Ruins with Arceus.
I do not have a 4th-gen Arceus anymore.
I would like to at least do the Spiky Ear Pichu.
I can see what I can do and possibly get you an Arceus, and I might be able to rig up a... I have the Pichu.
I have almost every single
because
one.
Because the Pichu is stuck in 4th gen.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's tradable, though. It's going to be really hard to trade it to you unless we, like, meet up in person, which is very...
Yeah, because
which is also very
the Wi-Fi.
Doable. Which is also very doable as we live 2 hours away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Yeah, I was going to offer you my 4th-gen Arceus, but...
But, yeah, I'd have to buy a plane ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see what I can do, and we could try to rig something up. I mean, we can go, like, get an old action replay or something, just to experience it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Same with the Celebi. At this point, I think it's fair game.
I think it's fair game to go ahead and do something like that. You can do something with the Celebi as well, and do the Celebi event in HeartGold SoulSilver.
Yeah, I actually have all of those Pokemon in my Platinum game.
Really?
And
you still left them
in
4th gen?
Yeah, because I never actually did the events in HeartGold SoulSilver, and I'm going to replay SoulSilver, and this time I'm going to do the events by transferring them back from Platinum.
And that's good. That's cool.
Yeah. So I still have something to see there.
There's, you could... In back to Diamond and Pearl, you could go and complete all the contests, but those contests weren't fun. We talked about that last week, actually. And you go get all the Pokétech applications if you didn't do that like a normal person.
Or if you are me, you can just spend like a million hours in the underground just because it's a fun minigame.
Yeah, there's also a really cool... they do have the ribbons as well, which I know have been surging back in popularity, actually. Because people have been trying to get Pokemon with, like, full ribbons and stuff.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning this in the last episode, too.
Yeah, it
because
definitely
someone
happened.
Wrote in that they have, a banana with a ton of ribbons?
Yeah, like in, but some guy did it with a Delibird on Reddit. And he actually, like, made a guide on how to get all of the ribbons on a Pokemon. And even, like, because there is a way to still get some of the Wi-Fi, like, exclusive ribbons. But you have to, like, change your DNS server, I believe.
Ooh.
But because somebody set up, like, an extra Wi-Fi server for Pokemon.
Oh, that's nice.
But yeah, it's kind of cool. HeartGold SoulSilver didn't have much more. We talked about that in passing. Platinum.
It did.
Huh?
HeartGold SoulSilver had a fair amount.
Yeah, we talked
about
that, right?
Yeah, but it had more than the original Gold and Silver, right?
Yeah, obviously. I agree with you 100%.
You can do, like, Never mind. It's not worth going into. There's a lot of stuff.
Oh, we did mention the events, so...
Yeah.
We can move on.
Platinum had pretty much all the same things, except you can catch both Dialga and Palkia. There were also a lot of events. If you had the event Regigigas, you could catch the... I thought this was the most backwards thing in the world. The event was for a level 100 Regigigas, and yeah. It allowed you to catch Regirock, Regice, and Registeel. But then you take those Regirock, Regice, Registeel to go catch a Regigigas.
Yeah, it was... I didn't do that.
I did.
I could do that.
I did that. Platinum also had a lot of really cool events as well, because they actually did the built-in Darkrai event and the built-in Shaman event, because there were those really cool events that were built in. And I'm really sad that they're not, like, they're kind of, it kind of came back to an extent, but it's definitely died down. Like, there's a full-on, like, story and event, and it really harks back to, like, the Delta episode, which will make Ethan not listen to. And, it really harkens back to that, where, like, there's a story built in around these Pokemon, which is really cool, and I like that.
Yeah, now you just get them, you know, in your box or from the Garlanda Pokemon Center, mm-hmm. and it's so much sadder. It's just, oh, here you go, have a legendary, and
yeah,
that's not special at all.
No, it's not. I don't like that. I want to get an item and be sent on an adventure to go get it. Like, exactly. Because, like, didn't they hint in Lumio City that, like, somebody was going after Volcanion? It's very broad, and I think people interpreted it as Volcanion, but it doesn't have to be exactly true.
No, it doesn't specifically mention Volcanion. It just says that someone went off on an adventure, and it doesn't say anything more than that.
Yeah, and so, it would be very interesting if Volcanion had something like that, like in Pokemon Z or something like that.
Yeah.
It'd be very interesting if they brought that back. Like, you go on a very small adventure. I mean, I guess the point is, like, if you mess up the event and you don't save, like, you lose that Pokemon. Which kind of sucks. But, on the other hand, you just save in front of it or something. I mean, that might be what they're trying to, like, prevent. But it's still more fun to go out and, like, go get them. Do something like they did with Latios or Latias, where, like, you go on, like, a very side quest, and Latias is like, yeah, I'm gonna join your party.
Yeah, I mean...
Also, you're forced to have him in your party. You're like, you have to go send somebody back to the box, because there's no option to, like, send Latios back to the box.
Mm-mm. And they have been very good lately, especially in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, about having legendaries that you really need respawn somewhere else. So they could just do that with
events. They've been doing that a lot, but they've been a lot better about that now. And I think that would be very interesting to do something like that.
I agree.
Black and White, I don't think there was too much to
there was game.
Well, Black and White, you did get to go to, like, Undella Town and stuff like that. But I don't feel it was very full of content, you know?
No, it was more of a... those games had other purposes outside of, like, producing a satisfying endgame.
Yeah.
I think they had other things in mind. Like, it wasn't really there... the purpose of those games at all.
I mean, it was really cool because, like, the level gap was, like, way up, which was really cool.
Yeah, it was so crazy the first time you get out of the Elite Four and you enter a random patch of grass. Bang! Level 65 Pokemon.
Yeah. It was really cool, but, like, at the same time, not so much.
Yeah.
I think those games had more content during the game, which was...
Oh, I agree, which is very enjoyable. The story was very... I feel... Looking back at it, the story was definitely one of the better ones.
It's probably the best one.
It's the best one by far.
Like, yeah. Unlike X and Y, which had very little story to it. And, I mean, comparatively, I think it had very little story to... like, it's not like Red and Blue, where it's just not... Where there's barely any story.
Yeah, but Red and Blue are, like, the establishing game. I mean, entire thing is the story. Like, the story I'm telling you is a story about a boy catching Pokemon and battling Pokemon, and after you've told the story, you can start working on it in some way. But you have to tell the story first, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, there wasn't too much else in Black and White 2 either. It was very similar.
I don't know.
There were Enz Pokemon. I did like capturing Enz Pokemon if you used the Black and White sync.
I did catch one of those, and it was one of the saddest moments in my life. Because, as you might remember, I have never met a random encounter shiny Pokemon in 15 years.
Oh, but it makes the shine, it looks like a shiny when
and
you,
it,
when it,
it
does see
it. Look like a shiny. It has That's the sparkles, true. It has the sound, and I was like, the sender is brown, but it's shiny, but it's brown! And, no, it was just one of N's Pokemon, which actually turned out to be very useful.
Mm-hmm.
Note for those who breed for hidden powers, N's Pokemon have all their IVs set at exactly 30.
Wow.
That's nice.
And they cover several egg groups.
They do, that's
so
true.
If you bring them forward to X and Y or Auras, you can use them to breed for hidden powers.
That's actually really nice.
Yeah. And Ethan, this is where I tell you my story that will make you feel better.
Hit me with
it. I am a huge lover of Generation 5. Like, I know everyone hates Generation 5. I love Generation 5.
It's one of the better ones.
Oh, thank you.
Ethan, stop having contrary opinions.
Hey, do you know what? I like Generation 3 better than Generation 4 or 2.
Okay, that's fair.
What are you going to do about that?
Nothing. I'm not going to do anything.
I mean, it's the correct opinion.
Anyway,
I'm not going to do anything. Shut up,
Ethan. With all of my love for Generation 5, see, the story goes that Generation 5 was very short, and Black 2 and White 2 actually came out in Europe only 3 months before X and Y
no.
were announced.
Wow.
And,
well, that happened very similar in here, actually. It was like October
yeah.
it came out, and then I remember this because Misty was still playing soccer. And
yeah.
she was mad because I went to go get them before she got back from her soccer game or something.
Bad news.
Yeah, she was upset because I went like a day before or something like that.
Anyway, I am a person who takes a really long time to complete her Pokemon games, and long story short, I've never even gotten to Victory Road on White 2.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, I never finished the game.
Pokemon Y. I mean, X and Y's postgame isn't that big.
No, 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 not on Y. On White.
Oh, White. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I think the most satisfying stuff in that game is, like, I don't know. Well, the thing with Platinum for me is that, like, there's so little forward motion in the plot, and there's so much backtracking, whereas Black and White 2 and Black and White seem so focused
mm-hmm.
to me that I just couldn't not beat those, you know?
Mm.
I don't know, but I understand.
I see your point, but I know, you know, I was grinding for the Elite Four, and then the announcement for X and Y came out, and I was like, ooh, I have this to look forward to, and Black and White 2 just kind of fell into a hole in my memory,
mm-hmm.
and I'm really sorry about it, and I think I'm probably going to, you know, play it back from the beginning, because I really, really like those games.
It's actually,
and I
it's
want
kind
to
of, it's kind of a good story. I like that one as well. Like, 5th Gen was really good, like, looking back, like, in retrospect, 5th Gen had an amazing story, it did it very well, and then X and Y does very little in the post-game, as well, but they didn't have, like, the game content to be there? You know?
Yeah.
Like,
I agree with you.
Like,
it
the game
was
content wasn't there. They had things like the Friend Safari, which is really cool. Like, I feel like X and Y were more about building a post-game in the community.
Yes.
As opposed mm-hmm. to having a post-game in the game. Which, I mean, which is kind of good, because, right, you have, like, you go collect
yeah,
your Mega Stones, and it was a lot of fun. Like, I remember it coming out, and, like, Bo actually mentions this in his email. But we can talk more about it later, but like, we had a Friend Safari friend code thread going. I maxed out my friend codes within like a week, and it was a blast, like just getting the community like hyped and like very happy. I like battling against people, but like if you look at the game itself, there wasn't much going on. And
I don't know, I mean, it was certainly a very pretty game.
Yeah.
I mean, all of the details were absolutely amazing, but then you finish the game and you realize that you hadn't actually done that much.
Yeah, it felt more like the Red and Blue. It felt a lot more like Red and Blue in that sense.
I think a lot of the post game is capturing things and like trading for things like Vivillon.
Yeah,
and
I mean we should.
Like I said, it's like getting the community together, right? Because they get all the Vivillon, you need to go trade with other people, and it's building more of a post game in a community than it is building. I mean, which was a lot of fun, but at the same time, it's why I want to return to Kalos in like a Z version or something. So that we can go ahead and go explore it again in a more fleshed out story, hopefully, and in a more fleshed out way.
Personally, I'm really hoping that they do something like Black 2 and White 2, where they give us a tiny section of Kalos that we have not seen before to explore, because that worked amazingly well for me. Like, even though, 80% of the map was the same, it felt like an entirely new game.
I trust them to come out with something good, because they are taking a while. We don't have an announcement yet. I'm hoping that this month's Korokoro has something, but I'm not going to guarantee it. I do think by the end of the year we'll hear something about it. But
maybe even sooner, like in November, I'm hoping.
By December, I'm going to call it. By September, we're going to hear. Or by December, not September. This is September. By December, we will have heard something about Pokemon Z version or its equivalent. And
I'm really hoping it's like that. For now, we just have flowers.
Yeah, so the last thing to talk about, really, is the Pokemon Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire postgame.
We should at least mention the one piece of postgame that X and Y has, Looker Mission.
What is it?
The Looker Mission.
Oh, the Looker Missions! Oh my gosh, yes. The Looker Bureau Missions are actually a lot of fun, and if you have not played them in X and Y, I suggest go playing them right now.
Absolutely, I love them.
They are a great story, and I can't believe I almost forgot about those. Like, I was thinking about those.
I actually totally forgot about those.
They're no, so good, though. Guys. They're like you can complain all you want about X and Y not having a good story, but go play the Looker Missions. It takes maybe like an hour or two, and you can go through this awesome story.
It's totally worth it.
Totally. I don't want to spoil anything if you haven't done it already.
Those are really fun. They're a really good time. They're like, it's a totally unlike anything else in the franchise, I'd say. It is
100%.
Like, street level narrative, actually. Mm-hmm. It's pretty fun.
It's actually really good. It's a lot of fun. I like that it's something that you can do, as the champion. It's just like, you're going around and you're helping people. It feels very more like anime-esque, you know what
I mean? X and Y is so good.
Yeah, I'm hoping, I'm all about the battle resort and going around in circles to hatch eggs and stuff. But I would really like to return to Kalos and have Kalos once again be my main game, you know?
Yes.
Like, no offense to, Hoenn, but, I would like to go back to Kalos and have that be my main game. Just because, the music from Kalos, I love it so much more than, Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. And, it's good music, I just enjoy that region, it just has a lot of nostalgia. And nostalgia from 2 years ago.
No. I think I've played my X version so much that now the music from Kalos is stuck in my ears, and whenever I hear it, I'm like, oh god, not this again.
Yeah.
And so for now, I actually prefer the Hoenn music because it's so good, but I'm sure that when, and I say when with the utmost hope in my heart, we get another Kalos game, I'm going to be so happy, and I'm going to play it so much, and I'm going to just
revel. You don't even know, because it's going to be I think we're going to have that game for a solid year and a half before we get another generation.
I hope so.
I really hope so. Moving on, though, Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. There's some Mega Stones you can collect, a lot of legendary Pokemon you can collect, but most importantly, the Delta episode. So, Ethan, if you would like not to be spoiled, I would suggest muting your headphones somehow.
Tagging out.
And we'll message you when you can come back in.
Okay.
But yes, the Delta episode is great. As I mentioned beforehand, it was just awesome how the story was done. And the Pokemon were brought into the lore.
Yes, it was amazing, and I think it was almost perfect, except for the fact that you spend half of it
It's a huge fetch
a
quest.
Ping pong ball
yeah.
going all over Hoenn, and that is kind of annoying.
But if it would have been more ingrained in, like, the main story, maybe it would have been a little bit better. But, like, met a couple of the characters beforehand or something.
And I think it's just a location problem. I mean, mm-hmm. they have you go to so many places back and forth mm-hmm. when it's not really needed for the story.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that very much.
Once it gets to the climax, it's a lot more fun. When you catch the Rayquaza, you're saving the world, and you find out you're in a different dimension, and...
Oh, that... Let's not get
let's not get too much
that.
Into that, but...
You know what I think about the alternate universe, and you know I can go on about it for, like, 2 hours, so let's not do that.
And then, you know, you blow up a meteor, and then you find Deoxys, which is really cool that they brought an event-only Pokemon into a game.
Yes,
I think that's very interesting.
I'm hoping they do that again.
I hope they do that. Like, I would be down if they did that, like, event Pokemon from, like, you know, 3 generations ago that are very hard to get on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Now. Do like, something like that. To be fair, though, like, to my knowledge, we can talk about a Manaphy. I can help you out.
No, don't worry. I think my brother has all the Pokemon Rangers games, so I can get one. It's just, it's not easy.
No. I think I have an extra one. But either way, what you do is you go around and, I mean, I hope they would do that for, like, because Deoxys, in my opinion, would be the one Pokemon that I would not, event Pokemon that I would not want to be in the games, to be completely honest with you. As there are a lot of event Pokemon that aren't given out very often, and I feel like Deoxys was given out a lot.
Yeah, I think like they should give out, like, Shaymin.
Shaymin hasn't had a lot of events. Darkrai's had a few.
Mew
hasn't had an event in a very long time. Jirachi, I think, more recently
Well, the problem with Jirachi is that they give out, like, one every year in Japan for the Tanabata Festival, but it never reaches other countries. So Japan is full of Jirachi, and we get no Jirachi at all.
I can help you out with that.
No, I do have a couple of Jirachi.
I do have the GameCube bonus disc.
I know. But no, I do have a Jirachi or two. It's just that I really wish I could find one that, you know, it has the sixth generation and the perfect IVs in 3 stats guaranteed thing, where I can actually try to soft reset for a good one, because it's a very fun Pokemon to use in competitive battles. Anyway,
but that's really all there is to the Delta episode, right? I mean, you blow up an asteroid. It was very cool how they added the story into it.
Yeah, and it's really cool. Pretty much everything about Zinnia is really cool. Mm-hmm.
Zinnia is an awesome character that they brought in.
She's amazing. She's mysterious. Like, who was the first Tusker?
I hope in the next game that we get a little bit more explanation about Zinnia, because she makes references to AZ. There's a lot of backstory that I feel needs to be told, and maybe that's what they've been waiting for.
I am really hoping they do that. But, you know, I think we have exiled Ethan for long enough.
Yes, I think that is long enough. Come back, Ethan. I summon you. I summon you. Come on, Ethan. I'm summoning you.
We back.
Oh my god. Oh my god. I was so worried you were gone.
I was too. I was worried. We missed you.
Oh, man.
But I think that's it for the post-game. We have talked plenty long about it.
Oh, my goodness.
And we have plenty of emails to read from you guys, so we're going to get to that. So we're going to go to commercial break. We'll catch you guys on the flip-flop.
A perfect summer has a voice. If we listen closely, it whispers, one more meteor shower, one more legendary Pokemon, one more perfect night. At the Moss Deep City Meteor Shower, you can experience this and even more. So come and experience Pure Hoenn.
Poke of the Episode.
And welcome back. Our Pokemon of the Episode is National Dex number 295. Exploud, the loud noise Pokemon.
According to the Emerald Pokedex entry, it has sound-generating organs all over its body. It communicates with others by adjusting the tone and volume of the cries it emits.
Exploud is a Generation 3 Pokemon that was requested by a listener. Palkia may very well be the next one as well. If you look at Exploud, he was one of the few Pokemon that actually got a buff moving to Generation 6, I believe. Yeah, I forget which stat. His special defense got buffed.
Yes.
What an arbitrary thing to pick.
Well, they did this with a lot of old Pokemon, actually, moving to Generation 6, because they did notice there was a power creep, and to balance that out, I guess they just randomly gave some Pokemon 10 points.
All right.
And, like, Raichu actually got really good. Raichu was at base speed 100 or something. They gave him 10 base speed points, and base speed points, so Raichu is actually, like, respectably fast.
Viable.
And, viable for a different story.
In VGC, it's usable. Let's put it that way.
Exploud's all right. I mean, I wouldn't say it's great. It is in the RU tier. And it doesn't have a hidden ability available, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. No, it does. It's Scrappy. It's its hidden ability, and it's Soundproof. Soundproof is actually a decent ability sometimes. Because it's not used enough that... I mean, it's only because it's not used enough that it's gimmicky enough to work. Like, it could... stop some moves such as like Supersonic or like Hyper Voice, which is used. Hyper Voice is used very often.
Exactly, it's very much used now.
And for me, it feels like a holdover from a time when Pokemon games weren't just a bunch of numbers, and it was like you had things as arbitrary as like these attacks are sound attacks.
Yeah,
so these kind of work. It kind of blocks that.
It still
works
though to some extent. Hyper Voice is a move that's very much in use right now, so Soundproof is the way to go. Most times. Scrappy is a good choice, though, if you want to play it a little bit safer. Scrappy allows you to hit both fighting and normal type Pokemon with normal type moves. Or ghost and fighting types with normal type. You can hit ghost types with fighting and normal type moves. I am just of a mess.
It's okay.
Exploud is usable in both the OU format, though, as well. So let's talk about how you would use it in the OU format. If you were to use it in the OU format, there's probably only one set you would use. You'd use it as a special sweeper. Even though it has great like mixed stats, you could probably pull a mixed Exploud off in RU.
Choosing
really
a wireless plan can be complicated.
Got an advertisement.
So Verizon made one simple plan with four.
It's playing on the Bulbapedia page. I need to get like ad block, and so we have. You'd run a choice spec set pretty much in OU and in RU if you really wanted to like use Exploud to its best ability. You'd give it Scrappy.
Wow, so you decent move pool.
Yeah, he has a really good move pool.
It's weird.
Like these normal type Pokemon have very good move pools.
Learn Boom Burst and Surf, or not Boom Burst, Fire Blast and Surf.
Yeah, and let me actually tell you about what I want to use it for. So like you can take Exploud and you can you get a modest one to max out special attack, max out speed. You hand it some choice specs and you go Boom Burst, Overheat, Focus Blast, and probably Surf.
So you would go with Overheat instead of Fire
I would
Blast?
Because okay, so if you look at the damage calculations for Overheat is a great choice. And if you're playing Pokemon correctly with the choice specs Pokemon, you're switching out all the time.
Okay.
So you're that stat drop is just not affecting you. I would not leave Exploud for a late game sweeper if you were going to depend on Overheat, but if it was like a one-on-one matchup, I'd be like, Exploud, Overheat, take out that Ferrothorn, or because your opponent somehow left Ferrothorn as their last Pokemon. but you'd more than likely be using like Focus Blast or Boom Burst in that case. Like
Boom, I've never heard of Boom Burst being used. It's a really good move.
It's used in I believe Noivern uses it very often.
What the heck? It's a
base 140 power special normal type move with 100% accuracy.
Wow.
What is that nonsense, right?
That is crazy.
Yeah, and you want to be able to hit things with that, so go for it.
That is neat.
I really
a really great move pool on Exploud for some reason. They're not great, just diverse. Very diverse.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's good in any other sense of that, but, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah, if only it looked decent.
He does have, like, a bunch of just holes all over his body, because he's, like, a pipe organ Pokemon.
So
that should be
horrifying.
His classification, pipe organ Pokemon.
It is a horrifying monster.
Yeah.
And it's holdover from things used to be able to look gross in these games.
I mean,
like,
I think that still happens to some extent.
But not, like, forced to look gross. It's
That's
just kind of, like, an ugly design.
No. Look,
but I like
look.
It.
The ugliest Pokemon ever is in Generation 6, so...
Which one?
Which one?
Barbarico?
No, I still think it looks cool.
No, no, no. It's like the one Pokemon I would erase from existence. It freaks me out to no end.
It is weird looking.
It's the hand instead of the face. I can't take it.
I can kind of agree with you there.
Moving on to TCG in this sense. I'm trying to be more proactive in the TCG. Exploud has one card currently in rotation. It is a colorless, obviously, because he's normal type. He has a second stage card, which is kind of hard to... Like, stage 2 cards, from my understanding, are very, like, not used because of how long it takes to set them up. And Exploud has 140 HP for a stage 2, which I understand is a little low. And so it has two attacks. For two colorless, you can get Boom Burst, which we were just talking about, which is... This attack does 20 damage to each of your opponent's Pokemon. Bench Pokemon. Or 20 damage to each of your opponent's Pokemon, so including the bench Pokemon. You also have, for four colorless, Hyper Voice, which does 90 damage. It's a very standard card. I don't know that I would use it, personally, but maybe. I don't know. I'm not as into TCG, and neither are either of you, so...
Oh, no. I haven't played TCG in 15
exactly.
years.
So I always look for feedback, because I always have, like, Scrawn, or, like, Vigor, or somebody else.
Yeah, and like, today like, it was just
today it's Kratos. You guys. No offense.
What is the TCG? I don't even...
What is this? I don't even know. But let's dig in real quickly to Exploud's trivia.
That's one piece of trivia.
What is one piece of trivia?
Do you want to drop it, Thatch?
I cannot read it because it started playing an advertisement.
Prior all to right. Generation 6, Exploud's base stats were all 20 higher than its Prevo. There's a trivia.
That's it.
And then it doesn't even factor in anymore. Doesn't even matter now.
Doesn't even matter. The trivia is like...
It has almost no trivia.
Because he looks like a pipe organ. But yeah, Exploud, cool Pokemon. I guess you could use it in the future. In like RU or something. It does seem decent. If it has access to Boom Burst, like... Boom Burst is a really good attack and something to think about. I mean, a special attack stat's not like great. Neither is a speed stat. But in RU, I could see Boom Burst going a long way.
Yeah, I mean, and you can probably throw some people off guard with some of his moves.
It's mm-hmm. certainly a threat in RU, so it's something you have to look out for.
Definitely true.
And Overheat, man, that's crazy.
Yeah, so without further ado, let's kick it on over to the mailbag. Yeah.
Which I have to open up.
It's mail time! Time for the mailbag. Send in your emails. The mail's here. Check your inbox. It's time for the mailbag. Mail!
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag, as always, is brought to you by the energy drink, Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hopes. And as always, if we find an email that is worthy, we'll be handing out the mailbag badge, shaped like a Green Tauros emblem, so make sure you drink your Green Tauros to stay energized, as well as getting hooves. Yeah. That's a good plug, right?
I know I've made this joke before, but I'm just going to do it again.
What?
If you drink Green Tauros, you can't even send in an email.
You have hooves. Dictation software is a thing.
That's true. How are you supposed to access the dictation software with your big hooves?
You just slam
the
keyboard.
You use the touchpad with your nose.
Yeah, there you go.
You got a big nose, too.
No, you don't get like a bull nose. You just have a nose.
Fair enough.
Either way. This first email is from Brychuk. What's good, Puckle? Brychuk here, unfazed by the lack of Green Tauros badge distribution last week. My emails don't have poems or Shuckle abuse, and probably never will, so it's all good. I'm just a 30-year-old addicted to Pokemon, and dig your podcast regardless of online accolades.
Can I just say?
Yes.
People in their 30s, high five, Brychuk. It's such a relief after all the kids.
They're actually, like, we have a very wide listener base.
Yes.
Age range. Thanks for the feedback last week on pokes to breed. Galewing's Talonflame was what originally got me into breeding, so I have a couple of those already, but Galvantula and Amoongus are good suggestions. Yeah, especially with the Slowbro you were talking about. So, definitely. Since my last email, I've gone on to make HM Slaves, Haluchin Sharpedo, possibly episode topic for the future. Sadly, I don't think I can talk about HM Slaves for an entire episode.
Watch me.
Yeah. Life Orb, Ditto Queen, Bulletproof Chespin, as well as a Chrislax set that suggested back in August of 2014. Self-Destruct Munchlax is pretty impossible to find these days, by the way. It is. I'm very sorry that it's very hard to find Self-Destruct Munchlax. I can hook you up if necessary.
For
no monies at all. Speaking of which, is there a way to easily locate which episodes have certain Pokemon of the week? Whimsicott and I actually talked about this probably a couple months ago. And she has actually been keeping up with, like, a chart or an Excel sheet of these. So there, maybe we'll put it into a... We'll put it on a page on the website, and I'll actually try to link all of the episodes individually to those.
Yeah, I can't see why that can't just go up somewhere.
Yeah, you know? I don't see why not. Whimsicott is all right.
Yes, I'll do that.
Yeah, we'll work on it in the next week or two. It's by far my favorite segment of the podcast, and you give great advice on movesets. Sometimes. If you go far back enough, there's a time when Thatch doesn't know what he's talking about.
Also, they're irrelevant now.
No, Thatch.
What?
Let's just say that those movesets were totally good back in Gen 4.
Totally good back in Gen 4. If not, you should include it in the podcast in the description, since I already had trouble finding the Snorlax and Slowking episodes. As for the mailbag, I've only really experienced two post-games since I jumped from Gen 1 straight to Gen 6. The Looker Bureau missions were pretty unmemorable. What?
I don't agree.
The Oraz post-game seemed pretty good by comparison. My only gripe is why Aster the Whimsor was included and thought they could have omitted that part entirely. Ethan, don't listen. They never explained the relationship, and blah, 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 and Zinnia ended up abandoning her in the end for no reason. Also, regarding Whimsor, Bulbapedia describes it as having a small plug-like tail, but can we all agree that's just a big hole? Just keeping it 100. Well, Delta episode was good and all. I actually enjoyed the mini-quest on the SS Boat and trips to New Malville and Sea Malville a lot more. Those were actually both very good.
Yeah, can I come back now?
Oh, yeah, you're back.
Okay.
They all could be completed in about a half hour, and I thought they had a very season one of the anime feel to them. I didn't really care about the legendary Pokemon or Megastone payouts. Until next time, Brychuk. So I've also got this next one because it was requested that I read it.
Okay.
Hi, Puckle crew. Philly the Kid here. Every time I've emailed, I've changed my name. LOL. Can I request that Thatch read my email, please? I absolutely think Thatch is a celebrity. I love him. He's awesome. Congrats on your master's, dude. I'm studying to become a teacher and Pokemon, WWE, and sports such as rugby league and soccer is my life. All of these things take up way too much time and I constantly get in the way of my studies. This is why I have so much respect for Thatch being able to do it all and still run a podcast. It's awesome. Speaking of taking up too much time, I was the Nuzlocke guy from last week and I finally completed the perfect Nuzlocke without any deaths. It was satisfying to beat Leaf Green Nuzlocke, but do it with mostly red teams from Origin. My Elite Four team was Charizard, Jolteon, Lapras, Dodrio, Victory Bell, and Omastar. Jolteon was great, as Bite was a special attack move in Gen 3 and helped me take care of the Psychic and Ghost types throughout the game. I was pretty proud of my efforts.
Yeah, that's what my Jolteon did in...
Yeah, Gen 3 has a lot of things you can exploit.
Yeah.
I was pretty proud of my efforts, and I'm now starting a water-only Nuzlocke through every generation. It will take a while. I love Dragon Ball Z, Pokemon, and all that stuff. I'm a kid who will never really grow up. I'd love to one day become a world champion at something, be it VGC, Masters in Pokemon, a pro wrestling or sporting title, or even run a podcast or an interview talk show. I'm a realist, though, and I accept these ambitions probably won't even happen, even if I pray to Arceus, wish on Jirachi, or work as hard as a Fighting-type Pokemon, or be as smart as a Psychic-type. That said, I won't give up. I will be as persistent as Shuckles. I love you too, Shuckles. I guess I'd be happy to settle it as a teacher, if I can inspire one of my students to one day become one of the things I mentioned. Then they'll say, "That's Phil's boy!" Hercules reference. I feel honored to have had two of my emails read out in the last couple of weeks. I used to go by the name of Sweet Chili Philly, or SCP, but I wanted to get more involved in the Puckle community and think I'll need a cooler, less generic name than either of the above. Everybody thinks that, but it's whatever.
My name is a Pokemon.
I mean, you can take whatever name you want.
Yeah, I'm thinking don't of going even have with, a name.
I think I'm thinking of going cooler of a cooler name like Mysterious Mew 92, Chansina like John Cena, except it's Chansey. It's bulky okay. and it's best special wall, or maybe this even Thatcher's Boy or something else. I don't know. What do you think? I hope to
the
win
biggest
the
biggest
green...
fan. Go yeah. by the biggest fan.
I hope to win the Green Taurus badge one day, but I want to earn it fairly and honestly, and I hope one day I can send an email worthy enough to get it. Love you guys. Keep up the awesome, awesome work. Hope my email wasn't too long. Never back down. Never quit. Yeah, boy. And he sends also a small thing. My favorite post-game, without a doubt, is the Johto series, with the ability to go back to Kanto. Delta episode is a close second, Ethan. I'm just hyping you up for this.
Oh boy, in October.
I still think the Johto games being the only ones that have the ability to get 16 badges and then Battle Red make them the best. No questions asked. Well, thank you for that. So the next one is from our second favorite Ethan, I guess. I don't know. Ethan, you want to take this one?
All right. Okay, this is from Ethanator. Hey, Poke Podcast, I can't think of any battling hellos related to post-game. Battling hellos? I can't think of any battling hellos related to post-game because I haven't played them that much. So, hi. I like gold, silver post-game because it is a whole other game. So he considers it to be a whole other game.
Pretty much everyone does.
But they're wrong.
They're wrong. It's the same game, right, Ethan?
I'm agreeing with everyone, so...
I think a post-game that should happen is you are ambushed by the team of that generation and you lose all your Pokemon. You go through an island with a few gym badges and a new starter, get your Pokemon back along with an exclusive Pokemon from that island. Goodbye and flip-flop stuff, so no relevance with no relevance to the topic, and bye. P.S. Sorry I didn't email you guys about the manga. I love the manga, but I'm super busy doing black belt testing stuff. And don't read that one on the air, so I will not.
You know, I actually think this idea is kind of nice. It's
like, oh, is that the thing
another...
about my name?
It's pretty funny that, like, it's still a huge thing. Like, what's his name?
I mean,
like,
you can easily find it if you go to, like, the Puckle's Bulbapedia page. Like, it's right there.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You get the next one, Whimsicott.
All right. This is from Jester. Or rather, the Jester, as he says. Hi, Pakul peeps, one and all. This is the Jester. The most loveliest part of the PokePost game is Le Battle Institute. The Institute is like a safe haven for training and testing my team, unlike the Battle Spot, which seems dominated by Uber threats, more like Uber threats. Better yet, battle points happen which unlock all the skills, which in turn help me understand the power inside. Besides being a useful tool, the Institute introduces me to tactics which rarely surface in balanced team-saturated online play. I've been putting in a lot of time to get ready for Magfest and Nikocon gym battles, and wish there were more and harder Institute-like challenges. I didn't mention the Battle Mansion because I'm a working adult. I ain't got time for that shenanigan, Ray. That's what he wrote. I did not make up words.
That's pretty good, though.
P.S. Thatch, did you say Pokemon and me were referring to Pokemon and me?
Probably not.
No, I don't think so. Maybe you mispronounce a lot of things, but not that. Maybe I imagined
wow, thanks,
that...
Whimsicott. What a backhanded compliment.
Come on, you did not say Whismur right even once today.
Whismur?
And let's not even talk about poor Pachirisu, because you mangle him every time
Pachirisu.
In a different way. Yeah, Patch, let it
Pachirisu.
Go. It's not gonna happen. Anyway, maybe I imagined that, but in case you or anyone else didn't know, it's a play on words. Mon ami is French for my love, get it? Oh, actually, Justern is French for my female friend. So.
Really?
Yes, it is. The last game was set in Poke France, after all. I mainly know the term from Gambit in the X-Men cartoon and Pepe Le Pew. Well, that's a very cool couple. I mean, it's a dumb pun, but in the world of puns, the dumber the better. It makes me smile hardcore. BSS. Which, whatever, okay.
Yeah.
And Thatch Boo Bash. Banana Fana Foe Fetch. Me My Thoris Bass. Go Thatch. Catch you on the Caltrops. Alright.
Alright, so the next one is from... Oh my gosh, this is so hard to say. Joraga Warcaller. Oh man. I feel like he just wanted me to try to read that. Hey Puckle Crew, I just started listening recently, and I wanted to say I've been really enjoying the podcast on my commutes to and from work. I have an hour commute each way, so listening to Puckle really helps pass the time. Anyway, on to Pokemon. For quite some time, my feelings on Gen 3 have flip-flopped, and I feel as though it was probably my least favorite. Wow. So it's taken a while for me to get through Omega Ruby. Yeah, he has my feelings, Ethan. I finally completed the game, and played the Delta episode, and I have to say, that was epic. I don't want to ruin anything for those who haven't played it.
Thank you.
They should go do it right now if they haven't, Ethan.
I can't.
But it was probably the coolest moment in Pokemon history. I now have a greater appreciation for Gen 3, and after playing through the game, I can't remember why I didn't care for it as much as the other games in the first place. Oras also added a ton of legendaries to the postgame, and having them have at least 3 perfect IVs, getting some of those Pokemon with great stats has become a lot less painful, though not completely painless. Even though not strictly postgame, secret bases are also a great feature that I'm glad came back and I've missed since then. Beating the game makes it a lot easier to get around, and you have free reign over where you make your secret base. As for what I'd like to see in the next postgame, I'd like to see another story chapter much like the Delta episode. It's pretty exciting to have another story after the main one, and I thought it was really interesting, despite having to revisit many areas in the game. Perhaps in the next one, the story can lead to new areas to be explored. I wanted to end on a note that Thatch brought up in episode 193. Don't probably remember this. That was like a month ago. He mentioned an interest in going to a Pokemon League to meet other people. Oh, I have had this interest for a while. I started playing TCG again after not playing for a few years and decided to attend the league in my area last weekend. I really recommend going if you haven't already. Like you guys mentioned in the previous episode, the Pokemon community is great and it brings people together. It really surprised me how friendly everyone was, and the younger players in particular really impressed me with their maturity and good sportsmanship. Of course, every league isn't going to be the same, but my experience was really positive. I look forward to going this weekend and attending regularly. Thanks for taking the time to read my email and for all the work you guys put into the podcasting community. Joraga Warcaller. Does my subtle use of flip-flops count? So the problem I have with going to a league right now is that the league that actually plays the video game where I'm at, because I'm more interested in the video game than the TCG, and it's not like I wouldn't play the TCG, but to really get into it, you have to spend a lot of money. Is that it actually happens when we regularly record Puckle. And so it's like either Puckle or Pokemon League. And I definitely choose Puckle every time.
Thankfully.
So this next one is from General Kyrem. You got this one, Ethan.
Alrighty. Let's do this. Let's do it.
Or not General Kyrem, his name is Dennis the Dark Dragon Ghost Maniac.
Okay. Hi Thatch and fellow co-hosts, it is Dennis the DDG Maniac, here sending my first ever mailbag from my Lord Giratina's sanctuary/mansion in Puerto Rico, where we take care of all abandoned and discriminated ghost, dragon, dark-type Pokemons. Wow, there's a dead sentence there.
Yeah.
My Lord Giratina and both General Darkrai and Kyrem say hello. I'll go directly to the mailbag. My favorite post-game stuff, I'll have to say, are the Delta episode, the battle with Az. Is that post-game?
It's AZ. It's supposed to be AZ, not Az.
Is it AZ?
Yeah.
I don't think it's really post-game. Isn't that part of the story?
Yeah, kind of.
No,
keep
it's
going.
Post-game.
And Detective Looker's story/adventures are my favorites. I'm still waiting for AZ's Follette to be distributed, if it happens, or an after story where it has been all those years before returning to AZ. I love the Delta episode for the story, and for obvious reasons. I'll leave some pics of my battle-breeded Pokemon and videos. For you guys to see how it was in Battle Spot right after the week Oras released. Well, I'll bid you farewell. Wait, where can I buy some flip-flops for Lord Giratina when he is in our dimension? General Kyrem already has his. I'm a guy, just in case, lol. Okay. And he put on
He sent
us
some battle codes, and he showed us, like, all of his competitive Pokemon. It's kind of cool.
Right on.
I do need to start, like, a gallery where, like, when people send us pictures, we have it. Whimsicott, you can get this next one from Merlin.
Yes, sure. Hello, esteemed co-hosts and Thatch. Today's mailbag was an interesting one, but before I get into that, I have a few announcements to make. One, first, Ethan, if you can hear me, how dare you not save Hoenn? Not only have I saved the planet from utter destruction, but I decided to travel to, yes, known as A-Fire, to rescue that one as well, and have almost completed that quest. So this was a reference to last week, which I tried to turn into a known spoiler for Ethan, and I probably failed.
I don't have the email up, so...
Good, don't. Two, secondly, I want to give a shout-out to Hanakane, who graciously gave me a Destiny Notch the other night. I had one of my Pokemon Y cartridge, but I needed to breed some Pokemon for the upcoming VGC season, and I had battled a couple in C-Mobile, I think, 11 times now, and I still hadn't gotten one.
It's actually easier to get one from the contest, I think, in Oraz.
Mm. Thanks to the great community here, I can now breed with ease in Oraz. Three, and lastly, with the Little Cup tournament fast approaching, I have several Pokemon that people may want for it, including a 4IV Jolly Elekid. Thatch might want that if you didn't.
No, I don't need Elekid. I got a team. Don't worry. I'm prepared.
You're probably the only one who already is.
I don't actually have a team made, but I know what I want on the team, and so it's a process.
Yeah. I myself will probably not compete with my frantic breeding and battle maze and challenges, but if anyone needs to borrow Elekid or any other LC Pokemon, I'd be more than happy to give them out. Oh, that's nice. Okay, on to the mailbag. I think my favorite part of the post-game is the new Delta storyline, but I wish that it was a little longer, and it provided me with more battles and less traveling from town to town. My dream post-game event would probably be something similar to this, but with a longer story, perhaps 10 hours of gameplay.
Ooh,
that would
be
like
half
the game again. Yeah, maybe it's a bit too much. I think the future remakes of Gen 4 could do really well with this, making an Arceus less Giratina event, making you, as the player, choose which path to take from the start of the game, and then in the post-game, that decision has a larger impact on the overall gameplay. Well, time for this wizard to teleport to class. So with that, flibbity-floppity-alakazam! The Wild Merlin has teleported.
Alright. So, oh man, I should tell him, I don't know, because Merlin and I actually shared very similar home regions. Happy Labor Day. I hope you're going to the Blueberry Festival, because I am.
I want to go to the Blueberry Festival.
That's where I'm going this weekend. I'm going to a Blueberry Festival in Indiana. That's why this is being recorded on Saturday.
I don't actually like blueberries all that much.
Well, that's because you're from Italy and you have grapes.
It's true. What? You guys do have grapes.
What? You have grapes.
What? Grapes are good everywhere, right?
I mean, yeah.
I mean, I assume blueberries in Italy taste the same as blueberries here.
Yeah, it's
either
just
way,
a, it's just personal taste.
I got super lucky and landed on the email from Bosifus.
Oh, man, I wanted that one.
Hello, boys and girls. It's Bosifus, back with another awful email. Ah, the post-game. You've had your new game for about a month or so, and have collected every badge, conquered the elite trainers, and captured incredible legendary Pokemon. Some might say you've done it, you've won. Not much more to do here. But you are no youngster, no fool with a Rattata thinking he knows everything. No, you are a trainer, nay, a master. And you refuse to let the end of the game mean the end of your journey. So where to? The Battle Tower? The Friend Safari? The Battle Frontier? Well, I suppose that depends on where you are now, doesn't it? But no matter where you are, what is clear is that at the end of the game is only the beginning for you. But not for me yet, because I still only have 5 badges in Omega Ruby.
Sheesh.
But for real, he's farther behind than you, Ethan. But for real, that's 2 more than last time. Let me whine for a moment now. Latios could have single-handedly whooped those magma twips, no sweat. Also, Steven helped. He had just as much to do with saving him as I did. More so because he told me what to do the whole time. I guess I'm just mad because I hate handouts. What's the challenge of a game if you get handed awesome rare pokes out of the blue? As convenient as the warts were for someone who knows Ruby and Sapphire well, I feel sorry for new players. Because all the jumping around really robbed the game of that sense of adventure and exploring the mid parts of the region. That's my opinion.
Well,
to answer
can
the...
I say? something. It's also my opinion because I finished Alpha Sapphire, and then I realized that I had finished the entire game without ever setting foot in Pacific Locked Town.
I did that. Still, I did that too.
It's how did that happen?
How did this happen?
That's my go-to.
Yeah. To answer the actual mailbag question, I think my favorite post-game area was the Friend Safari. When we had that Friend Safari forum going in X and Y, everyone wanted it on it. And it made meeting new people who played Pokemon exciting. Because anyone could have a rare Safari, or at least one you were looking for anyway. My biggest complaint with it is that the grassy area itself was incredibly dull, and made the whole process seem more like, well, a process. This feature, a similar one, were to be revived in a future game, it'd be neat to add a larger safari area, or have different ones for different Pokemon types. Anyway, this guy has got to go rustle some feathers for that sixth badge. Flip, wait for it, flop. Both of us. We have this last one from Link Lost Ook. Out. Or Link Lost Ook. Who wants that one? Fight.
Fluffy.
I'll take it.
Alright.
Oh, see? We agreed. Hey, Thatch and co-hosts. Hope you're all well. So, this morning, I purchased my first legit Pokemon cards in about 15 years. Oh, just like me. I've been considering entering a TCG comp this season, so I figured I'd buy a booster pack and see if I could find any emotional attachment to a card. Can't say I pulled anything that made me go wow, but it was exciting to open up the packet. We will see if this leads to me spending all my money on Pokemon cards as I did when I was a kid. Anyway, mailbag time. So, the best post-game can be described in three characters, and there's just an ellipsis typed into the mailbag.
Yeah.
It's awesome. To elaborate, the battle with Red at the end of Gold Silver was epic, and I really hope for a similar battle to take place in future regions. Come to think of it, the whole Gold Silver post-game was amazing. No game has come close to the experience of going through a second region in the post-game. It may be because it was the first Pokemon game I completed, but I didn't think the Johto region postgame could get any better. But wait, let's take off those nostalgia goggles and have a closer look. Although the Johto postgame was fun, it could have been better, primarily due to the lack of challenge with the Kanto gyms. I'm sure you guys will have gone into a bit more detail about this, so I won't drag on. We actually didn't mention that the gym levels are really low in Kanto,
yeah,
but they are.
Mm-hmm.
But then wait! The Johto post-game did get better with Heart Gold Soul Silver. Gym leader rematches, legendary hunting, the frontier. Nostalgia or not, I still think that Heart Gold Soul Silver is the gold standard in post-game.
Yeah.
But as I rub my eyes after taking my Gen 1 and 2 nostalgia goggles off, I can now see that other generation have a post-game, and they weren't all that bad. Actually, they were quite enjoyable. Let's look at Gen 6. I really enjoyed the Lucar side quest in X and Y, which was really uprising because I did not think I would enjoy it. I really liked the Lucar character, and I hope to keep seeing him in future installments. As for the Gen 3 remakes, the Delta episode was amazing. I know a lot of people dismiss the quest for go here, talk to this person, go there, talk to that person, but I found it to be much more than that. Although we only had a glimpse of her, can I mention one name,
Ethan?
Yeah,
just go for it.
Xenia became one of my favorite NPCs, and I really hope they flesh out her story in another game or movie. Her mysterious presentation and the entire background that she has had me intrigued, and I can't wait to see her character continue to develop. I'd be pretty shattered if we never saw Xenia again. Well, that's it for now. By the way, you could say I'm just a little excited for the next Poco competition. Until next time, Link Lost Yuk out.
Alright, and that wraps up our mailbag segment. Mailbag badge, though, I'm actually a big fan of Brychuk this week.
Let me see. What does he say? That's not bad.
that's your ringing endorsement there.
Okay.
I was trying to reread it all in 1 second, and it's not working for me.
I actually really enjoyed Brychuk's email. It was very solid, I think.
Thing.
Huh?
Well,
you high-fived him. You gave him a high-five.
Yeah.
And that makes it even better. No,
yeah.
You know, it's a very good email. Very focused, very useful.
I liked it. It was very solid.
Yeah, I think that's a good definition.
Sure.
So I want to give Brychuk the badge this week. So, Brychuk, Go to PucklePodcast.com and you can apply for the Green Tauros badge. So try again next week, everybody. So our mailbag question next week, I'm going to go with a bit more general question because this may or may not be the topic next week, depending on how I feel. So if you could respond to PucklePodcast@gmail.com with how has Pokemon affected your life? Send that in to PucklePodcast@gmail.com and we'll be sure to read it on next episode. Other than that, there's plenty of other stuff you guys can do. I forgot to mention, Scrawn's still doing a trivia challenge with real-life prizes, so go to PucklePodcast.com and participate in that, as well as reading all the other articles, hanging out with us at the chat box. Lots to do there. You can go ahead and like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, sign up for the MMT competition where we can play some Little Cup together this fall. Go ahead and follow us on Tumblr, subscribe to our subreddit, and most importantly, like I say every episode, review us on iTunes. That's how people find us. It helps us out. I get very happy every time I read a new one. Personally, I get very jolly and happy. And most importantly, we have figured out what we're doing for the 200th episode in 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks away, guys, because it's 198, so 199 next week and 200 after that. For episode 200, we are going to be doing a live show at 2 p.m. Eastern on September 19th. It's going to go on for about 2 hours. It could go to question mark, but 2 hours is what I'm quoting you. You're going to get 2 hours for sure of Puckle content, and it's just going to be us getting together talking. I have a plan for the episode. I didn't want to reveal it to you, any of the co-hosts, yet, though. Okay. They're going to have to wait until the week of.
And, we get a surprise!
Yeah, you guys get a surprise, too. So, yeah, check that out. It's going to be a live episode. You can come to the chat box, talk it up with us. It's on the calendar, so you guys can, like, set it to your Google Calendar if you want. Alarm yourself that it's happening. Come to the chat box, talk to us while the episode's going on. It's a good time. I really like doing live shows. They're a lot of fun.
So even if we roast you all the time.
Yeah, even if you roast. I mean, I enjoy that kind of stuff, though. I like that the community's built up that much. That's definitely one of my favorite things. And the fact that there are people listening to roast me, that's even better. yeah, so check those things out. We have some more things planned, like I guess this is the episode before the Chatbox meetup next Monday on September, I gotta get the date, September 14th, we're doing a Chatbox meetup at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can come talk with all the people that are going to be there. I'm going to be there. Huh?
Which day is this on?
The 14th.
Okay.
It's on the Puckle calendar as well, so you can just follow us there, and it's our first monthly Chatbox meetup. We get to hang out. I might have some stuff to give out. I'm not sure yet. So definitely check that out. Yeah. I don't think I've missed anything, did I?
I don't think you did.
Nope. Okay, so keep on listening. 200's on the way, and so is some more content by the end of September. I've got lots of things planned, a lot of things get just about ready to go. So get excited. So without further ado, I'm Trainer Thatch.
I've been Ethan.
And I am the Fluffiest Whimsicott.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.